All right, let's pray.
Father, thank you so much for this day. Lord, I just take a moment to just take everything in, that we're all here. You have a purpose for us all being here, Father. I pray that everyone has open hearts and open ears today, and that, Father, I don't get in the way of your message. And Lord, just help me to speak clearly. And man, just have people walk out of here choosing something different today. Thank you so much. In your holy name I pray. Amen. So this was a little unplanned, this first part. First off, just want to give a hand to the worship team. The reason why I bring it up is because, you know, I get the opportunity to worship with you all. I'm usually in the back, especially when I'm doing either if I'm on the streaming station or if we're back here, you know, trying to get my heart right to speak. You know, I get to be in the back, and I kind of want to issue a challenge for next week, which, again, this was not planned, and so this is totally aside from my message, but I challenge you all to really check your hearts on worship, man. I do. I see some of you, and I think you guys are in. I think you guys are in it for the right reasons. I think you guys are actually worshiping. But then I see some of you, man, and you all seem so hard-hearted. You do. You seem so hard-hearted. You stand there. You're just waiting for this to come so you can get out and go about the rest of your day, about the rest of your week. And, like, you don't want to be here, actually. A good comparison that ran through my mind as I was standing back there and I saw this is like, man, you know what's crazy, Lord? I feel like I could see more brotherhood and more togetherness in a mosh pit getting punched in the face. How crazy is that? A bunch of dudes who are so angry, listening to metal music, moshing, shoving each other, trying to kick each other, hit each other in the face. I could feel more welcomed, more comfortable. I could feel like they were actually with me more than some of you in the crowd. Y'all just want to get in and get out. You're not here right now. So I challenge you next week, man, worship. Let everything go. Quit being distracted. You're not above it. Thanks for coming to my TED Talk. Today's message is called I Hate Laundry, which fits my life. That's why it's called that. You may think it's going to be unserious and not heavy. You'll see. I got inspired to write this message because I was recognizing that my flesh has sly ways of getting to me. It changes the reality and the narrative to fit my irrational and sinful side when I want it to. I let it talk when I want it to. I let it define who I am. I let it run me sometimes. So why laundry? Why did I pick laundry? Well, let me tell you why. I suck at laundry. And the reason why I say that, because, you know, I'm sure y'all are probably thinking, like, it's just laundry. What do you mean you suck at it? It's a symbol for everything I'm not good at. I've taken this thing that's very small in life that everyone does, that everyone knows how to do, and because I'm not good at it and I let it pile up and I don't get take care of it, I'm not responsible with it, that becomes the one thing that makes me, that pushes me over the edge. And I go, man, I hate laundry. It's all rooted in insecurity at the end of the day. It's because I'm insecure about other things in my life. It's not the laundry. It's just a symbol. Just going to use the laundry as a further example here. I rebelled against solving the laundry issue. I just rebelled against it. I didn't want to solve it. I had so many avenues to resolve it. It just kept stacking, piling. And I was like, man, I'm running out of clothes. People are like, I'm going to start smelling bad here soon. What am I going to do about this? I just sat in it. Didn't take any steps to fix it. Didn't ask for help. Didn't do none of that. I blamed laundry for anything I could. Stupid laundry. Man, well, I'm not going to go to that like little gathering because maybe I'll smell bad. Stupid laundry. Well, I'm not going to go downstairs and say hi to people because, you know, I'm wearing the same shirt I did yesterday. Oh, I'm probably going to smell bad. Stupid freaking laundry. Right? This is a true story. I heard like two or three people talk about laundry in the midst of that time, just casually. It's almost like God was like, I would just approach him and there's someone talking about laundry, sitting in the back of my head going, how are you talking about laundry right now? You don't know how much laundry I've piled up in my car. It had me instantly irritated, though. And if you know me, you know, I've been told over the years now that when I first started coming, that I was pretty good at hiding that I'm irritated. I've been told I'm not good at that anymore. Yeah, see, Trent's like, no, you're not. So I'm sure these people, whoever I was talking to, probably, what's wrong with him? We're just talking about laundry. And I was like, I gotta go. I was running away from facing some facts. And here it is. I did not care enough about solving that issue more than I cared about my own personal opinion of my own image, not trusting my heart or the hearts of others. I cared about my own personal opinion of my image / not trusting others, hearts of others if I had asked for help. There we go. I wasn't trusting God in it either. Which that's a repeated pattern in my life, not trusting God over and over and over again. Laundry is just a symptom of the root problem. Because again, this is more than just, it's about more than just laundry. At the end of the day, I am a rebel. That's what it is. So how could something like, I hate laundry, this idea of laundry, all these little things in your life that feel inconvenient, or maybe you see someone else and they're so good at it that it makes you insecure that you just want to run away from it, all these things, how does that relate to your Christian walk? I'll give you a second to think about it. What about the things that you say that you'll, quote, do later? What are those? You ever think about that? What's the real reason why you're telling people, I'll do that later? It's probably because you either A, don't want to do it, B, you don't think you can do it, you don't want to ask for help, so you'll just do it later, because that still makes you seem responsible, right? I'll do it later. Take care of it later. Go get it. Yep, I'll do it later. I'm going to add that to my list. If you know me, I suck at lists, man. So if you ever hear me say, like, I'll add it to the list, be like, are you? Are you going to do the list? Yeah. No one's for you, Todd. What about those moments in our Christian walk when we overwhelmingly feel the Holy Spirit prompt us to take action and we just sit back? We know it. I think every single one of you, if you're a believer in this room, I think you know what I'm talking about. It's those moments when you know you're looking at a situation, whether it's somebody you know or you don't know. It could be a complete stranger, and you know the Lord's telling me to do something here, whether it's talk to them, ask if they're okay, maybe offer them that $5 that you don't want to get rid of because they're a homeless person. Maybe they'll do drugs with it. Oh, my God. Oh, so much worry. All these things, you make excuses, and you ignore those promptings of the Holy Spirit all the time. So do I. What about those times you try to serve out of obedience, but your heart's way too ugly? I fear that a lot. I fear that a lot for our people. I think you guys are great servants, but I think sometimes your hearts are a little too ugly. I think there's beauty in wanting to serve when you don't feel it, but when you are arrogantly in your own heart showing you don't want to be here and be part of it, then why are you here in the first place? What about those moments in your Christian walk when you just feel like you just succumb to every single feeling and emotion, no matter what it is, high, low, in between? You're just in it, and that's all that matters. I'm joyful today. That means I love Jesus. That means I'm going to try to tell people. That means I'm going to be on top of the world today. I'm going to be shouting, Jesus is Lord, he is good. The next day you stub your toe. Silence. Nothing. You no longer want to talk about Jesus because you're focused on how much your toe hurts. Well, poor me. My toe hurts, man. I can't go out there and serve. My toe hurts. What about the times in your Christian walk when you have an issue with somebody? That's another one. That's laundry. That's just as much laundry as my literal laundry. You don't want to go to that person because you're uncomfortable. Where in the Bible? Man, I'm fighting with this myself. But I also know you people. I do. I know a remnant folk. I know how you are. So this is for me, but it's also for you too, which is, where in the Bible does it say you're going to be comfortable? It doesn't. Ever. Never says that. It says there's joy. What's joy above? Feelings. It's above circumstances. What are you focused on in those moments? Your feelings, your circumstances, the what ifs, the have nots, everything in between. You have to realize that this walk that we're in is not going to be easy. You have to remind yourself of that, and you have to be willing to do what the Bible tells you to do. Those moments in your Christian walk, this is why I love Jesus, man. He makes it equal both ways. Whether you have an issue with somebody, you should go to them, or if you think they have an issue with you, you should go to them. Why aren't we having more of that? Well, what if they get mad at me? That's the one I hear a lot. What if they don't like AJ anymore? What if this changes our relationship? Well, what if all those times that they listened and because I did something wrong, now all of a sudden they won't? All these things. All these excuses. What's yours? This won't be on the screen because this is just a little side note, but in John 14:15, Jesus says that if you love me, you will obey my commandments. If you love me, you will obey my commandments. It doesn't say if you love me, you'll obey my commandments sometimes. It doesn't say if you love me, you'll obey my commandments when you feel like it. It says you will love my commandments. you will obey my commandments. That's how you'll love me. You just do it. Now here's the thing, before I even go any further with that, because I know how people are and I know how my mind can be sometimes. Well, doesn't that mean I have to be perfect? No. I hate that I have to preface with that. If you're a true believer, that's what do you think grace is for? It's for freedom. It's not for you to play this weird game with yourself where you go, well, I can kind of sit in the middle because then I can hear someone say that you got to obey Christ and give it everything, but then other people who say, if you make one mistake, then you're going to hell, and all these things, and you sit in the middle of it instead of realizing, oh, hey, Christ died for me. He's given me the freedom to have a mindset of, hey, I'm going to keep doing these, I'm going to obey these commandments, and in the moments I don't, I can repent and keep obeying. If you love me, you will obey my commandments. This goes alongside what Isaiah said in Isaiah 1:19-21. If you're willing and obedient, you will eat the good things of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Now this one, I added this, I was going to stop at 20, but then I saw 21, I was like, this is interesting. The faithful town, what an adulteress she has become. She was once full of justice, righteousness once dwelt in her, but now murderers. I found it interesting that that was added so soon after. It's talking about, hey, if you obey me, if you're just willing, if you're willing to do what I tell you to do, and you're obedient, man, you're going to live good. Because I say what's good. If you're following me, it will be good. But if you refuse and you rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. Sword can be anything, guys. What's the thing that you decide to rebel against? There's consequences. God punishes me. No, he doesn't. You choose. You choose sin. It's not an excuse. The reason why I added 21 at the end is because for today I wanted you guys to look at yourselves as that town. Because every time you rebel, every single time you had that prompting the Holy Spirit and you decide, nope, not going to do it, you sacrifice Jesus' death on the cross. You sacrifice it. Because you don't obey and you willfully go against what he's telling you to do. That's another nail driven in. You sit in these chairs every week. Praise the Lord. Love Jesus. And yet, you sing the song Monday morning, faith, and on Monday morning, you don't have it. You sing praise Jesus on Sunday, and Monday, you hate him. You drive nails in him. By show of hands, how many of you claim to have areas of understanding in your life that you feel strong in? You're like, you know what? I know a pretty good amount about something. Yeah, it's about everybody? Cool. We do that in our faith constantly, by the way. It's okay to know things, don't get me wrong. But out of everyone that raised their hand, have you not had a moment of arrogance in that knowledge? Have you, this is going to sound really nerdy. I'm a huge wrestling fan, all right? Big WWE guy, love it. Have loved it since I was 2 years old, all right? There's been moments in my life where, you know, I get excited. I get passionate about wrestling. It's one of the few things I love. And I know that sounds ridiculous, but it's true. And I've had conversations with people who are talking to me about it, and I'm sitting there going, that's nice. And they're telling me these things, and I'm going, that's not right. Or, yeah, man, that's cool, I guess. Yeah. I know so much more than you do. You know? How many of you do that? Guarantee you have. Yeah, exactly. Thanks for, I wasn't going to ask you, so thanks. It's cool that you're willing to at least raise your hand for that. Yes, we do that in our faith constantly. I'll use my own examples. You know, the wrestling, I already used that. But as far as actual faith, I know for a fact over the past 7-8 years that I've been a believer, I've had someone come to me and rightfully talk to me about something I did that was sinful. And I know in my heart, as I was listening, I was going, you don't deserve to tell me this. How gross is that? That's sickening. Or I've secretly been mad at somebody, you know? And it's like, because I didn't do the right thing, and then they come to me, I'm so mad that they came to me before I went to them, and I act out of it. I'm sorry they did the right thing, AJ. But no, it's true. You know, someone will come to me and be like, I feel like something's weird. I'm like, nothing's weird. Get away. It's true, though. Or we get into a place where we feel like we've been in faith long enough that we've already kind of like, quote, put our time in. So then when those situations happen, right, where you see something on the outside, you're going to let the people who may not be as experienced or maybe they don't know as much, you're going to sit back as if you're like some sort of like watcher. I know all things. We'll see how they handle it. No, that wasn't right. But then you don't say anything, do you? You don't step into the situation when it came, when it arrived, and you also don't even like talk to the people who tried to handle it. You kind of sit in like this throne in a way, this arrogant throne, where you're like the religious elite, dare I say, Pharisee, where you think you know better, you think you've already put enough time in, so you don't have to do those things. Even if you see it, you don't have to do it. Well, they'll go do it. Someone else will take care of it. I got better things to do. Jesus talked to a Samaritan woman. Do you not think about that? She was the first person he revealed to himself as the Messiah. How crazy is that? But we're like, you know what? We've been in church 20 years. We'll let the young guns take care of it. It'll be fine. And flip that too. You, us young guns, don't want to take any sort of wisdom from the ones who've been around longer. Well, we're new generation. We're new generation, man. We're going to do it different. Yeah, we're different. It's gross both ways. How often do you do things your own way? Nice. Nice. I'm with you. I'm with you. This can be related to faith, but also just in your life. How often do you do things your own way? You ever have someone just give you the most basic, just like a suggestion? Like they give you a suggestion of like, hey man, like what if you like clean something differently, maybe be a little cleaner? And you're like, that's nice. And then you just keep doing it the same way. I'm with you. Or like, I'm trying to think. There's a specific one that came to my mind. It was, I remember. Trent would love this. So it was my car back in the day. It overheats. And so, it's ridiculous. Sorry, I'm laughing about it already. But I was told, hey, put a little like marker line on your the thing that holds the fluid so that you know how much it's went down after you drive, so you know next time, hey, you could put some in. Well, of course, one night rolls around, I'm like, whew, barely made it home, man. That heat, you know, the temperature gauge is going, whoop, I just barely made it. Well, did you? Trent goes, well, did you mark the thing? And I could feel myself go, I got so mad because I was like, no, Trent, I didn't. I didn't do that. That's what I mean, though. We have that pride in us. We just don't want to listen sometimes, even though it could be truly helpful. Because in that moment, he wasn't trying to hurt me. He was just trying to help me. And he was trying to go, dude, if you would have marked that, it would have been fine. But I didn't even let that happen. I didn't even let that conversation happen at first because I was so defensive. I was like, well, this is, AJ's the worst. And I just made myself a victim. Like, that's stupid. It's gross. That's what we do to each other all the time. In faith, in life, in so many ways. How does it tend to turn out when you do things your own way? I'm with you. I'm laughing in my own head. I get it. When you do things your own way, I don't know about you guys, but sometimes, especially if I'm in a bad place in my mind, I will take like the one time I did something well on my own compared to 1,000 times that I tried to do something my own way and it went horrible. And I'll go, you know what? That one time I did that thing real well, man, that was all me, baby. I did pretty good. So you know what? I'm going to try that again. Instead of looking at the 1,000 other times over here where I've tried to do something on my own, and it's just crashed and burned. And then I've been selfish because the people around me have to pick me up all the time. And they got to drag me along, throw me up against the wall and go. It's not true. They don't actually do that, but they probably want to sometimes. At the end of the day, you suck at being God. You suck at it. And you hate it. And I hate it too. I hate that I can't make my own decisions and they turn out well. I hate the fact that I can't go into a situation and just fix it. I hate that. I hate that I can't change the mistakes I've made. And then I hate the fact that I feel like when I start trying to move forward, I can only focus on those things behind me instead of looking forward. It's because I'm trying to do it my own way. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own understanding. This goes back to what I was telling you before. You don't trust in the Lord. You don't trust God. Neither do I. That's why in those moments, when it really comes down to that moment, because I'm sure you've been there. Sometimes you may not always recognize it, because I don't either. But I'm sure you've had moments in your life, if you're a believer in the room, where you had a tangible situation happen, and you had that moment of pause. You felt time freeze, and you went, there's two options I can go here. I can either ask God for help, I can ask what he would do, or I can just react and do it my own way. Guarantee you guys have had at least one of those moments in your life. And more often than not, which one do you pick? Well, if you're me, you pick to react. You pick to not think. You pick to not take a second to go, hey, maybe I can actually follow God here. No, instead I just go, you know what, I'm just gonna handle life. And once again, I stumble and I crumble and fall, and then I got to get picked up by everyone around me, and then it's just the same vicious cycle over and over again. Do not rely on your own understanding. All the people that said, yeah, man, I know stuff. I get it because I'm with you. But where does that really get you anyway? What if you can know everything in the world and you never apply any of it? What are you doing? That's why he tells us to not rely on our own understanding, man. I can know the Bible front to back, every single word. I can know where every single period and comma is in this section 2A, B5. It doesn't matter. Are you doing it? Are you actually taking the words that are being told to you today? Are you taking the words that you're reading when you're at home? Don't read at home, do you? No. I get it, because I struggle with it too. Are you taking them and are you applying them to your life? If you're not, then what are you doing? Why do you believe this? In some cases, I can get it. Because modernized American church can feel like a social club. Like, we've talked about that before, right? Well, if I can put this church down on this application, man, maybe they'll hire me. I'll get above a couple candidates, right? I'll get a little ahead of the game. Well, if I'm a part of a church and I serve in a church, man, that means I'm trustworthy. That means I have good character. All these things, right? Oh, man, they'll trust me. But if you go to a church that truly preaches the Bible, why would you want to be a part of this if you don't actually believe it? Because at those other places, yeah, man, you can get fluffed up real good. They can tell you you're good, which is crazy because it's actually the complete opposite. You're not good. You need Jesus. You can't just want Jesus for an application, man. It's not how this works. Eternity is at stake here. Do you ever think about that? Sometimes I think about the path being narrow and it scares the crap out of me. For me, I don't sit there and think for other people, for me. I go, man, if this path is really as narrow as they say it is, like, am I on it? Am I actually doing this? Do I actually believe this? While there's people out there who just prance around in church and go, yeah, man, I'm good enough, man. Life's perfect, man. We're good. Hey, I'm gonna take this church application, you know, get an assistant to regional manager position, and you know, we'll be good. You know? It's not how this works, man. This all goes back to like my first point, laundry. What is laundry? What is your laundry? Be thinking about that. Because in this case, yes, I used laundry as like a thing that I wasn't doing, but that still applies to you. What are the things you're not doing? Maybe it's laundry too. But that's just a symptom of the root cause of what's going on in your life. Here's a video. I can't remember who it is but they said, like, you want to like be able to like feel yourself become like more like calm and be able to actually think, like, clean your room. Can't remember who said that, but same concept, right? I was letting all these little, like, I was letting the laundry pile up. I was letting all these responsibilities I'm supposed to be taking care of, I was ignoring them. I was using the excuse of trying to adjust to a new schedule, like all these things, like, they pile up, man. It's a symptom of a root cause, which is you're a rebel. You're rebellious. You have a sinful heart. You have a sinful nature. You have a flesh that eats at you all the time that's trying to get you to go against God. It's a war. It's a battle. Do you view it that way? That's what I mean, man. You go to some of these other places, man, like, they're not viewing this as a war and a battle. They're viewing this as like a dance party, which is fine. If you're preaching the truth, that's fine. But, man, are you skipping out on the truth? Because if you are, that's dangerous. So what do we do with this? So what, maybe you're willing to see, maybe you're willing to acknowledge the fact that, hey, like, you know what, I have laundry. I have these things that I don't want to do because it reminds me of all the ways I suck. It speaks into all my insecurities. So what do you do with that? How do I act out of it? Like I said, man, we tend to get angry. We do. But you know what's crazy? Listen to this. This is Ephesians 4, 26 and 27. Be angry and do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger, and don't give the devil an opportunity. For this instance, I'm more focused on the last part. Don't give the devil an opportunity. You can control your anger, sure, because a lot of the time, what's one of our first reactions to life? It's anger. So can that apply to this? Sure. But I'm more focused on that one right there. Don't give the devil an opportunity. If you're like me, there's a strange part of me, man. This is my flesh that it's hard for me, is that there's a part of me that almost likes to be sad, that likes to be in this like weird, like mopey state of being, where I am thinking about all the saddest and deepest things in my life that suck and hurt, and somehow like I enjoy it enough to keep doing it. I dwell on all the bad. I dwell on all the things that have hurt me in my life. I dwell on all the things that could happen that are sad, that could hurt me. And it envelops all of me. It's that sinful part of me, man. We're unique in all ways. What's yours? What's that weird part of you that you can't let go of? It's sinful. You can be angry about it. You can be mad at the circumstances of your life in the moment. The crazy part is that you don't have to sin, though. Don't give the devil an opportunity. Man, I brought up emotions earlier because that's such a big driver in this. You can't control how you feel. You can't. Sometimes people will take this kind of thing and go, well, that just means I'm not allowed to feel mad. I'm not allowed to feel sad. I'm not allowed to feel annoyed. I'm not allowed to feel like no one likes me. That's not true. You can like you can't control that. If that's how you feel, that's how you feel. It's what you do with it. What do you do in those moments? Do you let it run you? Do you let that narrative continue to spin in your head? Or do you actually try to take control and do not give the devil an opportunity? Because that's all he's trying to do. He's trying to get in your head. Do you go to the person who's annoying you? Do you express the fact that you feel insecure in something? Do you do the things that the Bible tells you to do? But then you wonder. That's what's so crazy. And I'm with you on this. You start to wonder, like, what is this, Lord? Why is life like this? He's sitting there going, have you done what I've told you to do? And you'll sit there and probably, like me, go, no. And he's going, why don't you try that? We get so beat down all the time through all these different circumstances in life, whether it's a job, maybe it's the atmosphere of the job you're at, or maybe it's relationships. Maybe you just ended a relationship. Maybe you're in a hard one where you feel like you hate each other. All these things, right? All these things that just stack up. It's what you do with it that dictates where you're at. I promise you. If you worry more about what to do instead of all the things that are horrible and they suck, you'll be different. Guarantee it. Don't give the devil an opportunity. Don't give an opportunity to speak lies into your mind that makes you want to run away. Nip it. It's possible. You can do it. God wouldn't have told us to do that if we couldn't. So what is your laundry? I know I asked you this earlier. You got to have some form of laundry today. I know you do. So much happens in your life every day, every week. That's why sometimes I chuckle, man. I laugh at myself and I laugh at us as Christians sometimes, if I'm honest with you. Because we talk about how, man, there's this war that's happening. And like, we need Christ, we need a Savior, and we need each other. And then like, we'll say that and be all fired up. But then like, we don't ever talk about anything, ever. We'll leave it like a, hey, how you doing, man? I'm all right. Cool. Like, there's never, we very seldom, I shouldn't say never, we seldomly actually allow each other to truly carry each other's burdens, walk out life. And like I said earlier, we don't help each other not give the devil an opportunity. We don't. We get all fired up about it here in this room right here today, right on a Sunday. But like I said, Monday morning faith, you come around on Monday, and you shut down, you think you're back to like real life or something, as if like this isn't real or something. Like this is almost like a dream that you wake up from and go, oh, I guess I'm just back to reality. Oh, there goes gravity. Didn't expect to do that. That was cool. But it's true though. Us as Christians, you know, I laugh at us, and then I start to realize that it makes sense why others laugh at us too. Because they're going, why would I want to be a part of that? Those people don't talk to each other. They just judge each other secretly. Yeah, it makes sense. You know, if you're looking at us from the outside in, man, it's kind of how that looks. What are you going to do about that? Do you want to be a part of that culture, or do you want to try to help change it? That's what we talk about a lot here, culture setting. Do you want to set the culture, or do you not? Well, if you want to set it, that's going to require something that's really hard, and that's being uncomfortable all the time. If you focus more on the do's and the don'ts, I promise you your life will change. It will. And even step one today in your new faith journey that's going to be like revitalized and it's going to set you on fire. I'm serious. It could be today. What's your laundry? You willing to tell someone about your laundry today? What is it? What are the things that are going on in your life? Whether it seems so big or maybe it seems so small, they both matter. I let laundry dictate how I was doing as a Christian. That's what I mean. Like, so nothing's too small. What is something that you claim to hate, but it's just another layer of avoidance to unveil the root reason of feeling the way you are? You ever do that? Just like with laundry. I hate laundry. No, I don't. I don't hate laundry, but I'll say that. What's the thing you hate today that you actually don't hate? You're just saying you hate it, so you have to deal with the root issue. Do you really believe in the tools God's given you? I just had a flash of, I don't know if you guys have ever heard him, his name's Mike Servin. He's the pop-locking preacher. This guy, he does a dance for the whole armor of God. Look it up after this. And I'm telling you, it's goofy, but man, that dude's awesome. Because he truly exemplifies, like, yeah, man, like, I'm going to put on, like, my belt of truth. And, like, he gets in it. But, like, hey, like, if that's what you have to do to actually live out what you say you live out, then do it. We'll laugh at that guy, right? We'll laugh at Mike Servin, but we won't laugh at the fact that David was dancing in the streets like a lunatic. In that case, we'll go, look at that guy, man. I want to be like him. No, you don't. You won't go out and you won't go down Main Street right now and go dance. That's what I mean, man. That's, I'm full circle here. Worship challenge. That's what I mean at the beginning when I said that. Like, you guys will scream for your favorite teams. You'll lose your mind when Cody Rhodes wins the championship. You'll do all these things. But when it comes to worshiping the one true God, the thing that you claim matters the most in your life, you'll stand there and do this. Quiet. Silent. But man, if Trent Richardson throws a touchdown, is that his name, Trent Richardson? Colts? No? I don't know, man. I don't know sports anymore. I was going to say Peyton Manning, but that's really old. That's what I mean, though. You know? If Manning throws a touchdown to Marvin Harrison, you're losing your mind. If Reggie hits that corner three, man, you're going, wow, look at that guy. But you refuse to show not even like a fraction of the enthusiasm you will for those things. How crazy is that? And again, before you run out of here and go, I can never watch sports again, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, where's your heart at? You can show that much enthusiasm for your sports teams. If that's a big part of your life, I love it. I get it. I grew up in sports. I love sports. But for you to claim that you love Jesus and that you're willing to claim and recognize that this is the most important thing in your life, then come here and show that kind of enthusiasm, it makes me question where your heart's at. Are you willing to be just as excited for the touchdowns than you are for the amens? Again, do you really believe in the tools God's given you? Do you truly believe that he's made his people have the Holy Spirit just like you do, so that when they come up and they ask you questions, they're not trying to attack you? Maybe they've actually been prompted by the Holy Spirit to ask you a question to help heal you. You ever thought about that? Go back and read the story about Saul who turns into Paul. That guy, he was told to go talk to Paul, who's now, well, Saul, Paul, you get it. He did. God came to him and said, you're going to go and find this man on the road, and you're going to tell him that you've come to save him and bring him to the holy city so that he can follow Jesus now. And he was like, I don't want to do that. That is Saul, the literal killer of Christians. He's like, yeah. Do you believe? And you know what's crazy? This is where you can get convicted by a guy like Paul. He immediately was like, okay. He wasn't offended. He wasn't mad that he couldn't see, because that's what happened. His eyes were closed. He couldn't see. He was blind. He was put in a situation where he had to accept. If his pride would have kicked in, he would have just been sitting there blind for who knows how long. That's the thing. It doesn't have to get there. It doesn't have to. Do you believe in the tools? Do you believe in prayer? Do you believe that God is actually real and that he's here right now, and that, and you know, when this whole altar thing happens, it doesn't have to be you just sitting here in silence waiting to go eat food. It can be you talking to a literal, real being who's here, who's created you. Do you believe in prayer? Do you believe in reading the Bible? Do you believe the Bible is the protected word of God that's literally perfect, that's been what's the word, man? My mind's going crazy. What was that? Preserved. There you go. Thank you, Rod. It's been preserved perfectly. Do you believe in that? Do you believe that it's been sent to you to read and actually apply and go, you know what? If this book says that, it's truth. Do you look at it that way? Do you look at that as a literal blueprint of how to live life? Because if you don't, again, I question you, what are you doing? Have you given up your desires that the old man once wanted? That's a big one for me. When I say old man, I mean that when you become saved, the old you dies, you become a new creation. The old you probably wanted things, because I know for me, I'll use myself, I know that I wanted things and I still struggle with what now. Sometimes I can't even define what it is. I can just feel this old part of me that's just wanting to like just rebel and get away from this God thing. I can feel it sometimes. It's scary. What parts of that are still in you that you still have to fight against? You have a choice to make. You got to give it up. When you claim you believe this, man, all things died before. Everything you ever thought was good, everything that you thought you really actually wanted, it cannot matter as much as God. It can't. Even now, later on in your walk as a believer, I know for me, like I said, even something as small as laundry can become this huge thing that makes you kind of spiral into like a weird, like rebellious, sinful way. Am I willing to give that up? It sounds ridiculous, but am I willing to give up looking dumb? I think I look dumb. Maybe those people don't even think I look dumb. Am I willing to give up feeling like I'm going to look dumb to ask, hey, my laundry's awful. Can you help me? That's all I got to do. If I would have done that so long ago, I would have been fine. This would have never been an issue. What's your laundry? She needs to come up and play some music. I don't know who's up today. Okay. I want you guys to really just take this time serious. I say this just about every time I come up and I get the opportunity to preach, but I really mean it. Are you guys going to let another Sunday roll into a Monday morning lack of faith? Because at the end of the day, this is something that you don't want to deal with. This is something I don't want to deal with. But the only reason why that happens, why you go from here now to where you're like, man, praise Jesus, I'm on fire. Can't wait to go into the world this week. The reason why that dies out Monday morning when you wake up is because you let it. That's it. There's no other excuses to make. When I look at these people in the Bible, these people that we claim to love, these people that we claim to want to be like, you know what I see there? I see true faith. That's what you lack. I don't see what they do, because that's the thing. If you want to look at what they do, they look like awful people just like you and me, because that's what they were. But what do they do? What did they do in the midst of their sin? What did they do after? What was their response to it? I thought about Jonah earlier this morning. In his heart, how he was hateful towards the city of Nineveh, and that's why he didn't want them to be forgiven, and that's why he got swallowed up by that fish. I want you to think about that for a second, by the way. Think about that. That's real. If you're in this room and you claim to be a believer, I want you to understand that you need to understand what you're claiming to believe. You are believing that God had sent this giant fish to swallow up a man and somehow live in it for 3 days. That goes completely out of reality. That is not within reality's bounds. Do you understand that? That is what you believe. When you claim Christ, you are believing in that. But yet you don't live like that's possible, though. You'll read it and go, that's a cool story. No, that's reality. That actually happened.
But yes, I thought about Jonah, and I thought about the fact that this dude had a hateful heart, and he was mad, and he didn't want them to be forgiven. And what'd they do? The fish swallowed him up, and then in that realization, in that moment, he could have sat there and just been like, well, I'm dead. I'm inside this fish. I'm just going to lay down and die. No, instead, he eventually repented. He started to realize how ugly he was being. He saw how bad his heart was, and he repented. And when he got blown out of that fish, his life changed. He started to become a loving man. He wasn't hateful. All these people that we claim to love, they're just as gross as you are. It's just what they did with it. What did they do with their grossness? What are you going to do with your grossness? We're going to have altar time. People are going to be up here to pray. What's your laundry? What are you carrying? No matter how big or small, where are you willing to just come up here and just ask for help? Ask for help in repentance. Ask for help in a situation. Just ask for prayer. Once again, do you believe in the tools you've been given? Because this is a tool right here. This is a tool. And the more you just sit there in your seat week after week, carrying all this junk, carrying all this weight that you don't have to carry, carrying all this sin that you don't want to confess, all these things, you're carrying it week after week after week, and then you claim that you're on fire, and then once again, that Monday morning flack of faith kicks in. No, you're not. You just wanted to get through here, eat some food, be a part of a social club, and get out and have the rest of your week. Do you believe it or not? Use the tools that are given to you. Use them. Come get prayer. Do you believe it? Do you believe that when you come up here and you confess sin, you'll be free? If you do, then why aren't you doing it? If you claim that you believe in that these tools are real, then why don't you come up and maybe you don't have a sin to confess, but maybe you're carrying something maybe it's an insecurity. Are you willing to be vulnerable with somebody? Are you willing to say, man, I want to do this, but man, like I'm just scared because I've screwed up a lot or whatever that is. Man, use the tools that were given to you. If you believe it, use it. I don't know where all of you are at. I don't. I don't know if there's anybody in this room that is not a believer. But if you are a believer, this is still the most important message you'll ever hear. So I ask you to open your ears for the gospel, because I don't care if you've already been saved. The gospel still applies to you today. It applies to you every day. You need the gospel. So for you to shut off right now because you've heard it for 7 years straight is dumb. God created everything. He created it perfect. He made us. He made Adam and Eve. We walked with him every single day. And it was perfect. Sin did not exist. And it was good. That's what it says. The Bible says it was good. When he made us, it was very good. God wanted to be in relationship with us since the beginning. That's why he made us. He wanted to love us. We decided to take the idea of God into our own hands. We sinned. We went against God. In that moment, sin was created, and so was death. The wages of sin is death. So when that moment happened, it changed history. It changed all of us. We are now born in sin. Unless you can live life perfectly with not a single sin, then you need a Savior. That's when Jesus came. God sent his only Son. God made flesh. He sent Jesus to sit down here to live with us and to show us that you can live this way. He lived a perfect, sinless life. He lived a perfect, sinless life to show you that, hey, this is what it's supposed to be like. This is the kingdom of God. This is what you claim to believe. Here it is. I'm living it out for you. And what did we do? We killed him. We couldn't handle it. Just like you can't handle it. Every morning when you wake up and you decide to do the lack of Monday morning faith, that's another nail. Driven. But he came born to die. What does that mean? Jesus was sent from God to be our perfect sacrifice. He lived a sinless life to die on the cross. And when he died, something incredible happened. 3 days later, he raised from the dead. He overcame death. And in that moment, he gave all of us an incredible opportunity to be back in relationship with God again. Because when something is perfect, when God, who is perfect and has no sin, when something he created now has sin, he cannot be with it anymore. So Jesus bridged that gap. When he rose from the dead and overcame death, he gave all of you an opportunity to accept Jesus as your Savior and be back in relationship with God again. So today, what does that mean for your life? If you're a believer, that means, man, why don't you think about that for a second? The foundation of your faith, the thing that you're willing to tell people at the grocery store, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer, all these things. Why don't you actually comprehend what you're telling them? You're claiming that a man came to earth, lived a perfect sinless life, died on the cross, came back to life. How good is that? It's ugly, but he did what he had to do, man, and that's beautiful. He sacrificed for you and you and you. So that when you die, you don't have to worry about where you're going. There's only two places you're going after this. If you put your faith in Christ, your life will change and you know where you're going after you die. How do you do that? You confess with your lips and you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and you will be saved. Confess with your lips, Lord, I believe in you. Jesus, I believe that you existed. I believe that you came to this earth. I believe you didn't commit a single sin. I believe that you died for my sins. And Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah. I believe in your heart. From this moment on, my life's going to change. I'm living for you now, whatever that looks like. It gives you purpose. That's for those who believe. For those who don't believe, you can have that today. If you're not a believer, man, I ask that you take it serious. I talked to a gentleman earlier this week at my new job. It's online, so I got to talk to him. And this guy has a long history of being a Christian. If you guys are familiar with the Newsboys, he was their guitar tech. He was guitar tech for the Newsboys. That's a huge Christian band. This dude was touring the world. He no longer believes. He never believed. But you know what's crazy? Is he said, I made the choice to no longer believe because I didn't agree with the Bible. And you know what? As much as that sucks, I'm glad he at least made a rational decision and not an emotional one. The most important decision you'll ever make is if Jesus is real, if the Bible is real, is it what God sent? That's the most important decision you'll ever make. Who do you believe Jesus is? Because in that moment when that guy said, I don't believe in the Bible, that also means he didn't believe who Jesus was. He made that choice. Today you can make yours. I ask that you make it. You take it seriously. It's the biggest decision you'll ever make in your life. Is Jesus who he said he was? But yes, you can have that today. If you're not a believer, you can come up and get prayer. You can confess with your lips. You can believe in your heart, and that is it, period. You are secured forever in the kingdom of God. Like I said earlier, when I got a little emotional, God gives you purpose, man. He does. I guess to give you a little bit of a background, I didn't grow up in church, all right? I didn't believe in God. I didn't even know who Jesus was for about 21 years of my life. I didn't. And I scooted through life trying to fill this weird void in that I felt in me, and nothing worked. Nothing. My friends didn't work. Girls didn't work. Sex didn't work. Drugs didn't work. Alcohol didn't work. None of it. None of it worked. At the end of the day, when I came down from the high, when I woke up the next day from partying with my friends, guess what? I woke up and I still went, what is this? What is life? What am I doing? And though that road was hard, it was very hard and it hurt a lot. The moment I accepted Christ in my heart and I decided to walk this journey, man, He's done crazy things in my life I would have never thought I'd be a part of. He's given me opportunities I never thought I would ever have. He's given me moments that I'll never forget of being able to see transformation in my own life, but also in your guys' life and other people's lives. He gives you purpose in everything. You just have to be willing to open your eyes and see it. God loves you so much. He doesn't want you to keep sitting here every week in pain, hurting. He's just asking you to do what He said to do. So yes, take this time seriously. Whether you're a believer or you're not. If you're not a believer and you want this, man, come up. Let people know, man. Don't be ashamed. Don't be scared. There's nothing to be afraid of. There's not. And for those of you who are believers in the room, man, take these next 5, 10, however long minutes we have seriously. I'm tired of watching you guys sit there in pain all the time and then walk out. I'm tired of it. Do you believe it or not? Be free today. Be free. Thank you, guys.